We have a guest today. Do you want to introduce our guest?
Mr. Austin Folkman himself.
Welcome to the podcast. Here.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Welcome to Go Hunt.
Yeah, welcome to Go Hunt.
This place is wild. It's grown since I've last seen it, 15 years ago, 13 years ago?
Yeah, we're going to do a run through. We want to get to know Austin a little bit. You've just joined the team.
Sure did.
They told me that you were a day one insider.
I was. Yep, right off the bat. I think I knew the original five people here at the beginning, rolled in that office upstairs and little small cubicles. And
oh, you were at the original.
The original office.
Yeah, where we literally had to go up the elevator.
Yep.
And then, yeah.
Drove by there on a coos deer hunt, had to stop in and see it.
I don't even think I worked here then.
No.
Maybe part-time, freelance.
Yeah,
that has been a long time ago. That's been, what, 12, 13 years ago?
I think I was 17.
Wow.
Looking back at it.
Yeah, so while you guys are talking, I'm going to pull it back up again because I don't have it pulled up now. So
what are you pulling up?
Oh, it's going to be funny. I always say we need to like show a photo on the podcast.
I was a little kid. Tiny little guy.
This time I'm going to make sure.
You were 17?
18 maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah. So Austin wrote me an article. I published it January 9th, 2017. So it was probably 2016 hunt.
Yeah.
That was something like that. So yeah. Called Doubling Up on Arizona Coos Deer. That was just a random title back in the day. But he actually has an author page on Go Hunt.
Yep.
Wrote an article.
One of the first articles ever.
Look at his baby.
I know, just
we're wearing the old Go Hunt insider hats from that we should give out.
Yep. He looks
the very first.
He looks all of 17.
Yeah. I mean, look at that.
That's the hardest deer I've ever hunted to this day.
That's a baby faced. That's a good velvet buck, though.
Sat in a blind for like 22 straight days in 110 degree weather.
Oof.
It was a blast. Never did it again.
That's why he looks so skinny. He lost a bunch of weight.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Then went down on the border with a buddy that drew a tag. So it was super fun.
Both of them wearing Go Hunt hats. Look at that.
Way back in the day.
So we're gonna get to know Austin a little bit. We're gonna find out what it is that you're gonna be doing here. I don't know. I've never met you before, but I followed along with your Instagram page. I know that you're a diehard hardcore hunter, so it'd be fun to talk some stories and just perspectives on hunting and Western big game hunting. So looking forward to that. Do you want to hit promo first before we get going?
Yeah, promo. We have a big one right
today.
Today's
the kickoff, January 6th.
I just lost where I was actually looking at on my thing here. Let me pull it up.
You don't know this off the top of your head?
I do. So what we got going on right now is our Refer a Friend program.
Yep.
Refer a Friend's back. It's probably one of our most popular things we do here at
Rightly
Go Hunt.
So.
Yeah. So it's a way to refer four friends, get $1,000. So if you're a current insider and you got some buddies who don't have an insider membership right now, all you're going to do is basically share your email address with your buddies. So the email address that you use to sign up or go on insider membership, and they will use that as the promo code. So use that email address from your buddy as a promo code when your buddies are signing up. Both of you will get 75 points to the Go Hunt Gear Shop. So you'll get 75 points. Your buddy will get 75 points. And so that fourth referral that you do will give you $1,000.
Mm-hmm. One point's $1. $1.
So you'll get 75 bucks for the first referral, 75 again, 75 again. Your fourth referral, you'll get $775 for a total of $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, 1,000 points or $1,000. And one point is $1. So you can spend all that money in the Go Hunt Gear Shop.
Yeah. And I don't know how long it's going to last. So I would say if you've considered it or this is a great time to sign your buddies up, do the referral.
Yeah. So you guys want to start planning a hunt, together or you're going to go hunting together this year and you want to have, Go Hunt maps and all the research and get all your buddies to do their own research instead of having you do all the research for them. Mm-hmm. It's a great time to do it. Both get money back to the Go Hunt Gear Shop. And then those other buddies could turn around and refer four friends as well. So
for sure.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It's application season.
Yeah, it's the best time of year.
I know. I was reading the other day. I can't even remember where, but it was something to the effect of like, are Western big game hunters more addicted to the gambling side of like drawing tags, the hope that it provides to draw a big game tag than they are the actual process of going hunting?
Both.
Yeah, it's a means to an end, right? Yeah, that's the way I look at it. But it is fun. I will say that. All the different strategizing and looking at different options and exploring hunts and looking at draw odds. And then actually hitting send on your application and then waiting like I am for Idaho to come back with some draw results.
That's right.
Yeah, remember I sent you that screenshot yesterday that Idaho is getting slammed so much. People keep reaching out like, when are you getting on resident general season draws? So they finally posted it to their Facebook. And it wasn't on a main Facebook thing. It was like on a comment down below of something else because everyone in the comments was just like, hammering them. When's the draw results coming out?
It's good to be on her. It's like Christmas morning all spring long for 5 months, you know, till you get slight disappointment.
I will say over the weekend.
It's like being the poorest kid on Christmas ever for me.
Exactly.
You just get up, you're all excited, and there's nothing under the tree. It's just an unsuccessful.
that's
what it's like most years.
Once January 1st hit, I will admit I was that person who was bogging down Idaho Fish and Game servers, and I was logging in, and I was clicking refresh, and I was keep seeing my app on the bottom. I was like, maybe if I keep refreshing it, eventually it'll say I drew a tag. It hasn't happened.
You're the problem.
I was the problem. Yeah. But I just wanted something good. Like you said, I wanted a tag under the tree at Christmas.
Start off right.
And
you get that first one, you know, you start planning, building the process out and getting excited for it. So, Austin, where are you from?
From Baker City, Oregon. So basically born and raised there.
Where is Baker City, Oregon?
It's like 2 hours from Boise, Idaho. So I'm like 25 minutes away from like Hell's Canyon country.
Okay.
So steep and deep.
So it's big, open. Yep.
We've got mountains that go to, you know, 8 to 10,000 feet. And then the terrain I like to talk about is kind of like that high desert terrain. So like right now it should be, you know, teens in the morning, wake up. And then in the mountains, we've got 6 to 8 feet of snow. But right now, like we've seen across the West, it's warmer temps everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, not the West Coast Oregon where it's just rain clouds and deep timber. So
yeah. Have you hunted Hell's Canyon?
I hunt there a lot. Yeah. Okay. I chugger hunt in there, October through January when I don't have a big game hunt.
Gotcha. Idaho side or?
Oregon side.
Oregon side. You ever hunt the Idaho side?
I've only hunted it a couple times. Used to do a little guiding over there on the Idaho side for sheep.
I saw a bighorn sheep today in the gorge.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, so I've only, in all the years I've ever been coming down here, I think I've only seen him a couple times. And I'm driving around, I come around a bend, and there's a young ram with literally his head on the white line. Like, he is right on the edge. And I was like, just caught me off guard. I was like, holy shit, look at that, bighorn sheep. Hadn't seen that in a long time.
I'm spoiled where we're at with sheep. So I mean,
really?
You could go down a couple of the roads there and see rams 180 to 190s. I mean, it's we're really spoiled with sheep up there.
Getting a tag is the hard part, right?
It is. I know. It's real hard. Man. Every year, it's like excitement.
Gotcha. I was curious. You said you were coming through at the age of 17, and you stopped into the Go Hunt office.
Yep.
You were headed to Arizona to hunt coos deer. I feel like 17 is pretty young to be doing out-of-state adventures. Were you doing that on your own?
No. So like I had the same upbringing, I would say, that most people had, where my grandpa introduced me to the hunting side of it. And then my dad was a big advocate in upland bird hunting and fly fishing and hunting. So they brought me up, basically just walked me kind of, you know, through the hunter safety side of things. And then my grandpa was the big advocate of applying early.
Really?
Building points early. I remember sitting down with him. I think I passed hunter safety at 8. I barely could pass hunter safety. I mean, I still have a picture of the test where I spelled most of the words wrong, but understood the concept, passed.
My favorite thing is like when you have your kids, because like my kid, he's 12, right? And I'm like, hey, you need to sign your tag. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, you should sign your name right here on this line. And he's like, well, I don't know what my signature looks like. And I was like, well, just whatever you want, man. I don't know if you don't have a signature yet, that's okay. But
let's make one up right here on the hunt. And this will be the one you use the rest of your life.
And he's funny because he sees, you know, adults signatures, right? Mine, for example, it's like this cursive thing with the big T and yada yada. And he's like, should it be cursive?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know.
Just they don't even teach cursive, I heard.
It's a grocery store signature, just one line.
So it was pretty funny to see him sign his name on the on the dotted line. But I was like, you got to work on developing some sort of signature, Owen. But pretty funny.
So was your grandpa into applying like out of state and stuff like that?
Big time. Yep. So he applied early on. I mean, he was probably one of the first to ever apply when they all went to the point side.
So he was into it.
Yeah, big time into it. And then he did international stuff too. So early on, I remember sitting with him in his living room and talking about it at the age of 9 on how important it was to apply and build a portfolio across Western states and start early. And he goes, you know, when I was 9, I could care. I mean, I really didn't. I could care less, right? But now I'm 29 years old and I have 21 points in Arizona across the board. So now it pays off, right?
So I
thank him all the time. And he also, you know, showed my dad, like, I know it's, you know, an investment, but it's going to pay off. And we've had some great hunts together, my dad and I have, because of those experiences that he sat down with me.
I'm trying to think of it right now. Would you rather have someone help you out investing in money when you're younger? Like, what would you do for your kids? Like, help them out, invest in, like, learning how to do...
Well, it ain't money, I can tell you that.
Or do it on, like, tag stuff. Because I think, I mean, knowing that I know now, it's like, obviously, I'm very passionate about hunting. But it's like, yeah, my dad really didn't do a lot of that. Like, obviously, he hunted out west and did certain, you know, bought points certain places. But he never taught us the importance of buying points out west. But he taught us the importance of, like, saving up money-wise.
Yeah.
I almost wish I'd have it the opposite way and had more points in... and smarts on like money and savings and investing and all that. Like,
I'm really fortunate. I mean, he did four or five states for me, and then when I got into high school and he really could see that my passion grew for that, then I went and stretched it out a little bit further, and I think now I apply for like 10 states or something like that, maybe even 11 now. But I don't know, I think building a portfolio, and whether it's a short-term and long-term goal, is always a really good thing, especially at a young age, because I mean, you could see kids that really get addicted to this, and then you get to be, you know, my age, and I have options, which is a really good feeling.
What year did you take over your own applications?
Oh, early. I bet I was probably asking questions at the age of 12 on, really? Like, why are we doing things the way that we're doing it? I want opportunity. I don't want to sit on the sidelines and go. So I would say really, really early on. It's something that, like, you know, my former background doing accounting and finance, like, that feels like an investment.
I knew you were an accounting guy.
Detail oriented.
You didn't know that. Okay, I would have, like, if you'd asked me, like, what does this guy do for a job? I'd have been like, this guy's a numbers cruncher for sure.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where it was like, just, you know, I understood the importance of applying and getting in, and not only just applying for hunts, but applying for the right hunts, making sure that there's a resident, non-resident tag or resident tag available in that state that you apply for.
And we brought this up on, I don't know what, a couple podcasts ago, but is there a state that you pulled out from because of like changes they made, and like just no non-resident opportunity anymore, and like you built up points and you just like either burned them to wash and not going again, or just stopped applying? Yeah,
no, there is. And like when I was kind of in high school and college, like I only had so much money, you know what I mean? And I constantly wasn't going to ask my dad or my grandpa to apply me for that when I was going through that, especially since they were helping me with school. So Montana was one of those states that it became so difficult for my grandpa to understand it and to stay with the changes that we just all pulled out. And now I'm back in the game because I understand it a little bit better. And it's the changes that have gone the last 5 to 10 years that he has struggled with more than most people. It's just, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. You really need to know this stuff to get into it.
So, you really do.
Yeah, there is. It's almost an art to it.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, people will hit me up, my neighbors, they'll come over and ask questions, and they'll say, how do you know this? And it's just like, well, I live in it.
Yeah.
It's like legit what I do.
Second job.
Yeah. Most of the time, even in my own free time, this is stuff that I'm like reading and learning about on my own. And then professionally, it's like just what I've lived in for the last probably 13 years, I guess, or so. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you do. You kind of have to in some regard if you want to do it well anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you just loved hunting. Was it?
I was addicted.
Inherent? Bad. Did you do anything else in high school? Did you play sports?
I played sports. Okay. Yeah. I played football, basketball, baseball.
Gotcha.
And then, when I really got like my driver's license, I was like, I'm not playing football and I'm not playing basketball cause I can still hunt. And so I kept baseball. That was my biggest passion.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was always hunting
pitcher?
For me. What's that?
Pitcher?
Left-handed pitcher, yeah. Until the shoulder left in high school, but yeah.
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 It's amazing that more people don't lose their shoulders, I guess. Maybe they do. I don't know. I watch these guys play professional baseball as a pitcher, and I'm like, how in the hell do they still have an arm?
It hurts still today.
Still all the time.
Yeah, and I was addicted at the beginning.
I was thinking, I've been talking a lot to my my wife about my kids, and just because I have a kid, my youngest kid, he's 12. You know, plays basketball, loves basketball, likes to play it. And she's been, you know, talking about like, how do we help him, you know, progress and move along? And it's like, it's one of those things really hard to put into perspective, because I feel like if you really love something, you just do it inherently.
Correct.
Like you love it to death. Like you're into it, whether somebody tells you to do it or not.
Yep.
So it's interesting to hear you say that you kind of had that same passion for hunting.
It didn't matter what it was, waterfowl, the big game, to fly fishing, like anything in the outdoors, I was addicted to it. And when I got my license, it was just tenfold after that. I mean, I was racking up my parents' gas bills like crazy, and they were feeding the, I mean, they fed the fuel. So,
yeah.
So you want to jump into what you're doing here?
Yeah.
You ready for that? And then I want to hear some, hunting stories at the end of this.
Yeah. So when was officially your first day here at Go Hunt?
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. Yesterday was my officially first day. But I mean, I was in talks with Brandon and at the early stages of this through the summer and the spring and,
yeah,
and fall. But yeah.
Yeah. I remember quite a few texts between us,
yep,
and phone calls about the job when it was coming up and applying and all that stuff. And I'm glad to see you here.
Yeah. It's fun. It's weird. Like my wife was like, how does it feel to be, you know, at a place that, you know, my wife's been with me since early in high school. And so she saw my excitement when Go Hunt came out when I was 17. And now that I'm working here, it's just, I told her this doesn't feel quite real yet, but it's super fun.
I think it's cool. It came full circle too. Like you said, you stopped at Go Hunt office way back, yeah, in the day before you went on your coos hunt. You know, you wrote an article for me way back in the day and still published on the website.
Yep. Stayed in touch with all you guys through, yeah, the way. But yeah. Yeah. Had sushi yesterday. First experience.
Oh, they took you to, yeah, Oshi's?
It's called It's Sushi.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, first time ever.
So it was really funny.
First sushi ever.
If you were to eat sushi in my hometown, I'll pay for you to go up there and back just to eat sushi. And
no, see, I mean, I'm no different than you. I totally get that.
So what was funny that he walked in yesterday and he's like, hey, "I'm going sushi." I'm like, "You ever had sushi before?" And I was like, thought about it, and I was like, "Wait, I was in the same shoe."
Yeah,
literally 13 or 14 years ago when Go Hunt started. When I came down here to interview for the job, I had never. Of sushi in my life, because like, why would I have it in Montana?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be the total worst decision ever. Like, you're gonna come home sick,
right?
And then, yeah, when you come to Vegas, you're like, oh, there's a lot of cool food opportunities.
That was really
here.
Good, yeah, really good. Yeah, I have a small food palate. Whatever got me to the point that I am now, I stick with that and run with it. And so, I rarely venture out, but yeah, yesterday was really, really good. So, that was fun.
You'll have to take the wife,
yeah, a lot of new firsts down here. It's fun,
yeah. Any hijinks on your first day?
I don't think so. No, not that I know of. I know the Uber line is really long because there's a tech conference in here, mm-hmm. So I was shocked by that. So
I about cut my finger off on my first day down here. Do you remember that? I had to go to I had to go to Instacare and get stitched up.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. That was sure fun. I still got the.
You were playing with your broadhead or knife in the car?
I was playing with one of those little replaceable blade knives. I was just popping the blade on and off while I was driving, playing with it, and ended up running across my pinky. I still have a pretty good scar. I think I had 7 or 8 stitches.
Yeah. I think you said it multiple times. You need to get like a fidget spinner.
Oh, I know. I totally fidgety. Do. Yeah. I really do.
Bring those things back.
Yeah. Cool. So tell us what you're doing. What do you do here?
I'm going to be running the Insider Plus program. So dedicated research expert for any and all draws across the West.
Okay.
All the way across state.
You've probably been spending a bunch of time looking through platform and kind of familiarizing yourself with everything. I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, it's all I've done and I know and I crave it. And to be able to actually be here and get my foot in the door and run this thing, I'm really, really excited for it.
And I think it helps really much a lot too. You've been an insider for a long time.
Long time.
So you know, and you've been applying forever. Like I said, your grandpa got you into applying and taught you the importance of applying at West and building points. Like, you've been doing it a lot.
Yep.
And you know the platform really well. Let's talk Insider Plus though. Who is a Insider Plus for? Like, what type of hunter would you say that membership tier is for? And we should probably walk people through exactly what it is, but who do you think it's for?
Yeah, we don't talk about it.
No, we don't really do it
that often. I mean, we probably should, because there's definitely a user base, a consumer that needs this badly.
Yeah.
We haven't really done a whole deep dive. And when we had Nate on last year, we talked a little bit about it, but I think it's probably something, especially this time of year where you just headed into an app season. Yeah, maybe just lay the groundwork of what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Insider Plus is basically a dedicated person to help you apply in any state that has a draw. Mm-hmm. So I know we have 17 states that we currently have on the Insider platform right now.
Yep.
But this doesn't limit any states that we don't cover. So any state that has a draw, it is a dedicated person to help you figure out where to apply, how to get tags in your pocket, and then anything from... When you do get that tag, it's a one-on-one e-scouting consulting. It's a sit down on a Zoom meeting, go over like areas that might look good in that area that you want, you know, you drew a tag in, or it could be, hey, I'm a brand new hunter, need help figuring out how to do the draw system. Walk me through it from A to Z, and boom, you get a tag. And now we're talking gear. So mm-hmm. we're talking, you know, and gear's really expensive. So it's like, what gear can you live without on that hunt? I mean, we look at all the gear that we own over the last 15 years worth of gear. It's daunting for, you know, that new hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So it is basically a dedicated person that's going to research it inside and out, sit down and do one-on-one consulting with you for any state, e-scouting, gear, you name it, anything you need.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you nailed it really well, which is awesome. And So yeah, basically everything you currently have is an insider. So you still get access to Insider with Insider Plus. So you still could go in and
we should.
Yep. You could look at maps. You got Go Hunt Maps on your phone. You got all that. You got draws. You got filtering. You got access to all that application strategy articles.
Application strategy articles are huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I think anybody needs to go read those when they come out.
Mm-hmm. So you get access to all that. And then on top of that, you get those extra services that you just mentioned, which is pretty cool. I think the other one that we don't really talk about too in Insider Plus very well is like the customized gear list thing, which you talked about a little bit.
Yeah, it's huge.
Is like, yeah, you can, what hunt you got coming up? Well, I got this hunt this late season. Like what kind of gear? Like that's even big too, because we've all been there before knowing what gear to bring on certain hunts. So like that's a cool part of it. The e-scouting thing too is like huge.
That's huge too. I mean, you look at like where I live in Hell's Canyon, if you didn't know how to e-scout and you didn't know how to do it effectively and you rolled into Hell's Canyon on day one, you're not climbing up the side of those hills.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you need to be able to read topo lines. I've been on hunts where it's completely different when I got down there based on what I thought it was. And it took me on a 5-day hunt. It's 2 days of scramble and now I got 3 days of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long way to go to make that type of a mistake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we take for granted just, some of the questions that are second nature. I mean, I've been going back and forth with a guy. He's trying to get into bow hunting and he's been sending me questions about bows and like budgets. And he's like, I can't really afford a brand new bow. You know, I might be able to afford, you know, new, but this budget build or, you know, used potentially. And he's looking for models and things. And like, he's asking me questions like, what is, you know, what does 70 pounds mean? Like when I see this in an ad, you know, and I'm like, well, that's your peak draw weight, right? But those are things that like me, I've been bow hunting for 20 some odd years. It's just like, it's 70 pounds. It's like your peak draw weight. Like I knew that, right? But to somebody that's not ever hunted, especially like onset, like older hunters, right, that are just getting into it, there's just so many questions, whether it's applications or state or gear. There's just so much stuff that I take for granted that people could utilize somebody like yourself.
Like you touched on it. Like it doesn't have to be a new hunter that's never applied.
Yeah.
It could be somebody that doesn't have the time to stay up with these changes. There are changes that happen all of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, we go to the news tab. It's almost weekly. There's some change in some state.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've talked to people that say that, you know, oh yeah, I'm applying in, you know, X state. And I'm like, you do realize there's not a non-resident tag in that hunt that you applied for.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, I didn't know, you know.
Why did the state let me apply for it?
Exactly. Yeah. They'll take your money.
Because they want your money.
Yeah.
Who, I wanted to ask, this kind of leads into it. And I, who's it for? Who's Insider Plus for? Is it for everybody?
Everybody.
In your
Anybody
opinion?
And everybody. Yep. I mean, even somebody that really knows the draws. Like, let's say, you know, you've got a guy that knows the four draws and he's really good and he can apply himself in those and he can put himself in for his own tags. But it's beyond that. It's anything in Western big game hunting clear to all the way over to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't draw a tag, there are tons of opportunities where maybe you have a license in Idaho and now we can get you to go on a spring bear hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you applied in Oregon and we've got opportunities in Oregon to get you on a hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you know it, you know, A to Z, Z to A, all in between, more than just applying for the hunts. There are opportunities out there still today that are phenomenal opportunities to get you out in the field and see success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it totally is for everyone. I think a lot of people might say like, oh, is you really need a, you know, like a one-on-one consulting thing? Like what does that really give you? But it actually gives you a lot. Like you're saying, like you have a hunting license in one state, maybe you didn't draw. Well, now you can actually talk to someone and feel like, hey, I really just want to go hunting. I don't care what it is.
Right.
And you can help them achieve the dreams that they want. And it might not be big animals, might be whatever it is, but someone's going to have a goal of like, I just want to go hunting. And you can do that one-on-one consulting time with them to talk about, okay, here's my expectations. Here's what I want to experience out west or any of the states that have draws for that matter. And like, you can actually help them.
Yep.
It also saves time for a lot of people. Like, I think of it as like my brother a lot. So obviously before Insider Plus, I would do all his apps for him and like all my family stuff. But like, he's a guy who owns his own business, has two young kids, and he just wants to go hunting, but he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He knows enough to be slightly dangerous. Like he had an insider membership before, but obviously he could lean on me. But it's like for him and his other friend who also runs his own business, like they want to go hunting.
Right.
They don't stay up to date on all the changes or knowing where the non-resident and versus resident tags are available in certain states. So like, yeah, those are the guys that Insider Plus is like really made well for. Yeah.
And I mean, even like there's hunts that I have been looking at since I was, you know, in high school, right? They're completely different hunts now.
Mm-hmm.
So the unit may be tapered off or maybe they've allocated more tags or less tags or you name it. It's not the same as it was when I knew it 10 years ago, right? And so to have that knowledge, that's where the Insider Plus, in my opinion, pays off, is like our network here in the community at Go Hunt. You have boots on the ground knowledge in that unit for that season. It is really relevant to get into. It's one of the biggest pros is like, you know, these hunts are short. You know, you go on a 5-day hunt. You want to be ready to go dialed in on day one and hunt hard all the way through day five. Mm-hmm. And that is what that Insider Plus program is, to get you there, get you comfortable, find you success, and whatever success looks like, whether it's filling a tag or having fun, seeing animals, you name it. But it's a really good benefit.
Could even be too for people who, like, you know, are not, I mean, our platform is very easy to use, but there's a lot of people that aren't like tech savvy,
right,
too. So like all the answers for everything you want to know about hunting out west is on the Insider platform.
If you have the time.
Whether it's state rules and regs pages, whether it's, you know, draw odds area, app strategies, the other in-depth articles we do that are locked to members only. But you have to know where to find it on the website, right, too.
Yep.
And you have to be willing to put the time in to learn how to use the platform. So maybe, again, if it's a time thing or you're just not tech savvy and it's like, hey, just help me out.
Yep. Or if you have to apply with an outfitter. Some of these states got to apply with an outfitter. How many guys know an outfitter right now off the top of their head that you would recommend to go with?
No.
Right. So it's like having that knowledge. You know, that's why I like Alaska's daunting. Like, how do I even get into Alaska draw if I don't know any outfitters up there? Well, we do.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned price of it yet, which is something always people want to know about. So it's $499.99 per year for Insider Plus.
We also haven't talked about whether, do you do applications for people? You're Insider, so you will complete their application
for them. We'll complete it for you. And if you want to complete it on your own, that's also available too. So it is anything and everything that you possibly could need.
Mm-hmm. So $499.99 per year. And if you are currently an Insider member, it's prorated. So if you want to sign up for Insider Plus, you have that option as well, and it's prorated. So it's really sweet too. And then, like, the one thing I really like too, it's, you know, you think, okay, $500 seems like a lot of money.
Yep.
But when you think about all the states that there are, and you talked about earlier, which I thought was really well, about like having a portfolio, having a short term, middle term, long term plan, like you're helping those people out. You're basically like kind of what you did before, like a financial like planner for this person, but you're a hunting planner for them and trying to figure it out. So the nice thing is it's a flat fee. You're not like, if you want to apply for all the species in New Mexico, for example, you're not having 50, 60, whatever bucks up for every single species. Then you want to go to another state. It's another thing, which gets really, really expensive.
Right.
That's why if you compare us to other people that might do something similar, ours is a lot better price point.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, there's no extra cost for species, no extra cost for states.
And two extra things. We apply spouses for free.
That's pretty sweet.
So that's a big bonus right there. And then also any youth kids, we apply them for free too in any of those Western states. So we really want to get, you know, the youth hunter in the game, understand the draw, and to be able to have a guy that do that for you and make the most out of your license. I mean, that's the thing, is like, you can go spend money in every single state with these licenses. But like I said, maybe you got an Idaho license and now you got to hunt right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's opportunity in Oregon too for a non-resident person over the counter.
Yeah.
And so it's making the most of the money that you spend. I think you could spend money and not get the benefit from it unless you have somebody that really knows, like, hey, there's opportunities for you to still go hunting.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
So am I understanding that right? If I signed up as an Insider Plus, Insider Plus.
Yep.
My spouse, if I apply her, is covered under that $500.
Covered.
My three kids.
Covered. It's a really good deal.
It's, I mean, like everybody in Utah should be a member.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where my head goes.
You are from Utah, so you can say that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, think how much time it is in Arizona when you have to go apply your whole family in Arizona.
Oh, I know.
Right. I mean, it adds up.
You have to check out with one item and go back in and do it again for the other species. And then go do it again for your spouse, your kids. Oh,
it adds up.
You know, it's interesting. So I've done my own applications forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I asked you the question, who is Insider Plus for? And I thought you might say it's for the guy that maybe doesn't have time, maybe he doesn't have the knowledge, but I was interested in your reply that you think it's for everybody, right? So internally, as you were talking, I'm thinking about my own process of like applying. And I'm thinking, am I somebody that would use or need Insider Plus? And if I'm really honest with myself, I think it's probably true. I could probably benefit from having somebody do that for me, because you're aware in a new way, where you have a new individual that you can work with hand in hand to help you apply. And then I'm also going to be that much more aware of opportunities that are probably outside of even myself, and I live in this world. So, you know, Pennsylvania elk, you brought it up, right? Or you brought up some of these other states that have draws. You know, if I have the ability to sit down with you for a half hour or whatever it might be, and I look over state by state and we start to highlight some of these species and places where it's like, hey, did you know that there's a draw for this?
Well,
I knew there was a draw for it, right? I couldn't tell you when the date is. I couldn't tell you the cost. I couldn't tell you, you know, whether it works on a preference point or a bonus point system or whether it's a random draw. It's just like kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit, even though I'm in the back of my head, I'm aware of it. But I think if I had somebody... It's like, hey, this is their responsibility.
Right.
This is Austin's responsibility now to take a look at my application and what he knows me. He knows what I want to hunt and he knows what I like to hunt. And trail loves deer, elk, and antelope, right? Yep. So, you know, that I see real value in putting the responsibility on you as well as me to like work hand in hand to kind of develop. And I think. I don't know. Maybe I'll sign up.
I mean,
I don't know. There's definitely like opportunities that I'm aware of, but not at a intimate level to the point where I'm like pursuing them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Like I was just talking to a really good family friend of mine and he's been doing applications, you know, when I was a tiny little kid, and his portfolio is extensive and he's got a lot of points in a lot of places. And, you know, we signed him up for Go Hunt Insider Plus. And he saw the benefit. He's not somebody that, like Brady said, is super tech savvy, but he's also somebody that can't keep up with these changes, right? Mm-hmm. He's not going to go in and read the application strategy articles that you guys release, or he's not going to jump on the state agency website and go through these changes. And so he was major benefit for him. That's why I say it's for everybody. It's anybody that's never applied all the way to somebody who's got 28 points in states. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to burn him and they also want to burn him in the right unit.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't know, you know, he's not on a social media platform. He doesn't see what units are hot and he's not talking to outfitters. He doesn't have, you know, friends that are in these units as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say it's for everybody. I mean, even myself, it's like I live and breathe this all the time. But now that I have the availability to do it and really do my own applications extremely, extremely well, because all I'm going to be doing, like if I didn't do this, I still would heavily consider applying for Insider Plus.
Yeah. Bouncing ideas off of somebody else.
Right. Yeah. Those people who only hunt their home state too.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Like there is so many times when I was like, why did I ever hunt where I hunted before when I lived in Montana? Because that's kind of all I knew, and that's what I kept doing because my buddies hunted it. But it's like if I had someone else to lean on, like I just say I hate having regrets in life, and that's one of my biggest regrets. Why the heck did I hunt the same
place?
You might
only get one chance at a couple tags too,
yeah,
you know, or with those points. So in my mind, it's like when I do burn my points on a unit that I've saved up points for, I want to make sure that it is still the unit that I think it is or could be. Or has it changed? And there is no better information than the people that, you know, have been there, know it, and know it inside and out.
Even as a resident before, where I can hunt the whole entire state for deer, like play off some ideas of with someone else, like that would have been clutch. Like why hunt on my back door? Sure, it's convenient and it's easy. That's what everyone does it. But like if I could have drove 2 hours away and knew the things I know now, like, yeah, I would have and hunted way bigger deer.
Yep.
And now I don't live there anymore, so now I can't. Like,
how hands-on is Insider Plus to working with people that sign up?
And so we do.
Is it mostly through content? Is it that you engage those individuals via phone call? Do you do video conference with them?
Yeah, so we can do anything that tailors for that individual. So if you sign up for Go Hunt Insider Plus, I'm going to get an email that's routed to me saying that we've got a new person that's signed up. I'm immediately going to reach out with you via another email and, you know, explain, you know, give you my contact number. And that is my email, my cell phone. I don't care if it's, you know, 5:30 on a Friday night, we'll get back to you. I want it to be basically like it's your best friend that has all the answers and all of the knowledge at all times. So we'll sit down and we can either do, like, if you've got time to sit down and do a Zoom call and you want to go, you know, see a face-to-face conversation, fantastic. We can do that. If you want to send me a text message because you're always on the road and you're not by a computer, great. Like, we'll get it done that way as well. So it can be tailored to however the individual has the time or would like to communicate that via email, via your Insider Plus platform, phone call, Zoom meeting, all the above.
I assume it probably comes in waves. So right now, probably most of the people that sign up are looking at application strategy. And then as you roll into results, people got some tags in their pockets. Then you're more looking at things like gear lists or actually planning and putting a hunt together. Yeah, e-scouting.
Yep.
So it's like, it's not like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't want to give people the idea that it's like just an application service, that it's like you just apply and that's kind of where the value in it is.
Yeah.
I guess I want to give people the full breadth of what it is that you offer, which is help you draw the tag, help you pick the right unit, draw the tag, and then let's make this the best hunt that we can possibly make it.
Yeah, my overall goal is get a tag in your pocket and have the success. And success looks different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
But my overall goal with each individual client is have them be successful in the field in whatever way success looks for them. And this can even be things that's not even e-scouting. I mean, Brady, you've done a lot of traveling and trail you have too. Traveling with firearms and bows is extremely confusing and difficult at times. And you get to an airport and things are just different places. I mean, to be able to bounce ideas, like, and say, hey, I'm flying out and I'm going to land in, you know, Reno and I'm going to go hunt Nevada. What's the logistical problems that I'm going to look at there? Right. Like, we've known it, we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it could be anything. It's just not, it's not just an application service. That's right. what the good part of this is.
And people want to easily see all the membership benefits too. Like if you're on the web, it's super easy. When you go to gohunt.com, up at the top, there's a membership tab. If you're on your phone, I just pulled it up on any web browser. There's a little hamburger line things in the upper right corner. You tap on that, you can tap on memberships. It'll take you to a page where you can learn more about Insider and also Insider Plus, and it compares and contrasts what you get with each membership. But yeah, like you said, you get a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot for the price point that we're at.
Great value. So.
I'm curious why you want to do this job.
My biggest thing is, like, I grew up in family businesses.
We're gonna interview him like he hasn't already got the job.
Oh, I like that.
That's good. I'll take it.
Why do you want to do this job, Austin?
Who do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah. For me, it's like I grew up in family businesses. So the customer relations side to me is something that I've always just been a part of. It's kind of like a second nature to me. Mm-hmm. I really like helping people out. Hunting to me, it's all I know. It's all I really care about on a day-to-day basis. I went into a professional career for a little while just to have that background of the business side. And when the opportunity came here, like, I want to help people draw tags and I want to help people be successful. And I want to know about your success in the wintertime. You know, I'm not somebody that's just going to get you out to the field and then don't hear from you until, next spring when we apply. Like, I want to know how you did. And so, I don't know, for me, it's just, I like helping people. I like the personal interaction. I like feeling like I'm a part of somebody else's hunt, even though I may have never met them. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's the one thing I'm excited about. I think more than anything is to have those photos sent to me in the fall and just see our members' success. That is the biggest piece.
It is really fun. That's one of the more rewarding parts of the job, at least.
And yeah, you get an email, a DM from some guy.
Yeah, DM with some buck or bull that this guy's killed.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah, it's fun to, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of these times you don't really, at least for me, like I haven't done consulting for a while, but like formally, right? But yeah. I answer a lot of questions via DM, and there's just so many times like you'll get a photo of a buck or a bull. And, you know, I look at it and a lot of times I'll have to like go back through the thread to be like catch up and be like, oh, what were we talking about exactly? Like, and really what jumps out to me though is like obviously the photo, but I just the enthusiasm with which people want to tell you about it. You know, it like means so much to them. Those are always my favorites when people like really let go and like, man, this is like one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, it's those are way fun to get.
Some of the hunts I've gone on and I've found success in, whether it's with family or, you know, friends or a client, like those are some of the best memories I've ever had in my entire life. And to be able to give somebody that little piece of knowledge to go make those memories with their dad or their brother or a new friend, like it doesn't get better than that. That's the community here.
Yeah. Yeah. It is fun. Brady, you got other questions about Insider Plus?
Do I have questions about Insider Plus?
Those are the
ones. Top of my head, I don't think I do right now.
Yeah, those are the ones I had. Maybe the last one. If somebody's on the fence, what would you tell them right now?
I would say give it a try. Mm-hmm. I think that like the conversations that I've had the last couple months with people, like I said, are understand the value of the entire Go Hunt platform. I mean, you get maps, you get application strategies, you get points to the gear shop, which we didn't even touch on, right? So you're already an insider member. You buy something through the gear shop, you get points. You can use those points for more gear in the gear shop, right? So is it an investment? Yes. But for the time, as many states as you can apply for, making the most out of that application or that license to get you out in the field to find success and not be spinning your wheels and spending extra money and losing days in the field. You know, we only have so many days to hunt. Mm-hmm. So I've wasted days where my e-scouting just wasn't what I thought it was going to be, or there was a road closed I didn't know about. So I would say give it a try, because I think for the value of that product, you will see the benefit.
Mm-hmm. I think you won me over as far somebody I think I would trust to put my my applications in your hands and work with you. One thing that just popped into my mind, I mean, just the Insider platform itself, the ability to connect with somebody and work through the platform. Just
very true.
Like, show me what an application strategy article is. How do you use it? You know, I hear people talk about draw odds pages and detailed draws pages, and I hear people talk about point creep. What the hell is point creep?
Right.
You know, just to answer those types of questions would be really, really
one of
handy.
My favorite things to do is, like, if somebody doesn't have the Go Hunt Insider platform, mm-hmm. is to be like, okay, how are you doing your applications?
Yeah.
And they got books and stacks of newspapers, and they printed out stuff from the interweb. And I'm like, okay, now look how easy it is over here.
For sure.
We can dial it in ahead of time, and it tells you everything that you need to know without you having to flip through 2.5 hours of pages.
Yeah, find those old regulation books that you thought you threw away. Yeah, most likely did throw away. We have them listed all the time. You can go check them out, read them.
It's fantastic. 24/7, 365. There's a lot of good information every day.
Yeah. What makes you qualified for this job? I'm curious.
It's a good question.
You like to hunt. Obviously, you've told me you like to hunt.
Yeah, I like to hunt. I think somebody that, like, you know, you can trust. Like my former background on the business side with the customer relations side. Like, I'm going to be somebody you can rely on. Like, if you need to get a hold of me, you'll get a hold of me. This isn't, you're not going to call an application service number and get routed to somebody else in the office. Mm-hmm. Like, when you sign up for Insider Plus, you're signing up with me directly. You will have, like I said, like my email, my direct line, any questions that you need, get routed right to me. We're not passing people off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody has an optics question, right? I'm sending them to Cody. Like that guy knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
So there'll be things like that where if it's really specific questions, there's somebody in this office that'll probably know it better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, you know, attention to detail. Like the attention to detail side when you're applying for applications is daunting. Like making sure that you apply for the right unit, for the right species, for the right dates.
Mm-hmm.
There's hunts in Idaho where it looks like it's an awesome season dates for a buck hunt, and you apply down there in November, and then you realize that it's spike only or fork and horn.
Yeah.
Right? There's been some only. People that I know who have done that personally.
Yeah. Yep.
Chris Porter.
He might have drawn a cow moose tag somewhere and then turned it in. But I know another person who's drawn a fork and horn thing.
Yeah.
One of those hunts, like, oh, dude, 190 trophy potential, and I can draw this tag, and then didn't read the fine print that it is.
We do. There's states like that up in Oregon where you can apply, and it says, you know, bull elk, and you're like, sweet, it's one of the best units in the state. You apply for it, and you just drew a spike tag, and one of the roughest units in the state. It's like, congratulations. Yeah. No.
The fact that you're from Oregon is interesting, because that's a state that we traditionally... You know, I tell people don't apply in it, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. And there's some truth, but there's also some opportunities there that are available to people, right?
Yep.
So I think it's a good, it's good that you have the background in, you know, that northwest corner, Washington, Oregon, because there's a lot of people that hunt.
Yeah.
Or live in neighboring states that may be looking for opportunities. I mean, as you look at more, traditional OTC type of tags kind of slipping, you know, a state like Oregon becomes maybe a little bit more interesting because you guys still have a lot of over-the-counter
stuff.
We do,
and it's really good. It's really good hunting over there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to highlight it too much.
I might be picking your brain.
And I think it's almost like more qualified for it too because you hunt in those states that we don't typically talk about. But even so, those are the states too where a lot of those people who are residents do look to go elsewhere.
Yep.
Like they're building, I want to hunt antelope, and they have 20 some points for an antelope, and they're like, I can't wait to hunt antelope one day. I'm like, you never hunt an antelope yet?
Right.
And it's like, you know, you can go two states away and have really good antelope hunting with minimum points
yep.
to cut your teeth a little bit and then go antelope hunting in your home state when yep. you eventually draw. Like those states, there's a lot of opportunity elsewhere as well.
There is.
It's yep. like why we have like so many, you know, California members.
Yep. And early on, it's like when I stopped by this Go Hunt Shop, I was on my way to go guide elk in Arizona to help pay for college in September. So I've spent time down in Arizona. I've guided over in Idaho, and then I've also guided in Oregon a little bit too. So I've been around a lot of states
and
at a young age.
I mean, we'll probably get into some hunting stories here soon. Like,
I was just going to say, what's your favorite species to hunt? And don't say mule deer.
Oh, it's just deer. Kidding. It's deer.
It's I'm just deer. Kidding. Is it deer?
It's deer. It's bad.
Mules?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
No, that's
addiction
good.
Is really
I get
bad.
It. I get it.
And you killed a stud this year too.
Yeah.
Why is it your favorite?
I like to build a story. So like,
oh, you can't build a better story than a rut elk hunt.
No.
It's the worst story.
No.
It's the best story.
You walk around and just rip a call and someone comes walking in. And
yeah, it's loud. It feels like a chess match with deer. It's why I like it so much. Like, you know, I try to get a tag. Like when we talk about application strategies, I try to get a tag close to home so that I can go scout it, you know, 50, 60 days a year. And then to be able to find a deer in June and hopefully have a crack at them in, you know, that October season that we have up there, which is extremely difficult to hunt, and find success after you've spent 40 or 50 or 60 days on one animal all summer. Like, it just doesn't get better than that for deer for me. And, you know, like the buck I killed this year, I had 3 years of history with that deer. So that one felt really good. And just patience, just sat in one spot for 3.5 days. So deer for me, like it's always been deer for me. So I like elk hunting too, though, but I'll do
how's
all of it.
How does it make you feel, Trail?
Good. I mean, it's not like I haven't done the same. I mean, I get it. I totally get it.
I did get an elk this year though too.
Yeah. So I mean, I get it. The thing with deer is I always say, and it's probably boring at this point, but it's like, you know, a big mule deer hunt, it's 99% just bored out of your mind. You're glassing your ass off, you know, you're just looking for that deer, and it's just like not inherently like a good time. It's not like active in a lot of ways. You're just sitting and you're grinding, and then when it actually does come together, just because of how hard it is,
yeah, mm-hmm.
the satisfaction that you feel on the back end of it is pretty great.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I did enjoy elk hunting this year though. It's been a while since I've done that. It was yeah. fun.
I get it. I do think that a big mule deer is easier to find and hunt and kill than a big bull elk. To find a bull, to target a bull and kill that bull, depends on the season, obviously, but you're talking from August, you know, you've got maybe a week towards the tail end of August, and then once those bulls pull into the rut, man, they're damn hard to find.
Yeah,
it can move.
You know, a late season hunt, maybe you're going to be able to find a big bull and target him and hunt him till you kill him. But for that, like end-to-end process, like mule deer is much easier in my opinion.
Sounds like a challenge, Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been very good at finding a elk and targeting that specific animal. Like to find one in July or August and then kill him, I know people that do it. Usually it's like in a state like Utah where that hunt opens up, or Nevada,
yeah.
where you've got an August opener. So maybe you've got a week and a half, 10 days where you can target that animal before he breaks off. I mean, that's feasible, but man, to find one, and I tell people all the time, yeah, you can go out and scout and get to look at like the quality of bulls across the landscape. But if you're going to hunt the 5th of September through the 20th, like good luck finding
it's
him.
It's tough. Yeah, they move a lot.
It's so hard. They're really, really hard to find and pin down. You killed a buck this year?
I did.
Good
yeah.
buck?
Yeah. It's a unit that I've spent a lot of time in over the last 6 years and slowly started to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this year found success. So I've chased good ones every year, and to finally find success felt pretty good.
What's your approach to deer hunting as far as out-of-state deer hunting? And I'll tell you why. This is my conundrum, right? I love deer hunting. I love deer hunting close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hunt the unit that's close enough to my house that I can just scout, I can find an animal, and I can hunt it.
Yep.
Out-of-state deer hunting for me is not that intriguing. It's not nearly as intriguing as something else like an elk or an antelope, to be honest.
Yep.
Feel the same way? How do you feel about
it? Yeah, I mean, it's extremely daunting. So like, you know, like we talked about, like in my, like I want to get a tag close to home. I want to be able to go scout it every single weekend, mm-hmm. if I possibly can, if time allows, right? The more time you spend in that unit, the better off you're going to have come hunting.
Right? And that's whether it's like that summer or year over year.
Yeah. Like I've had seasons where I had four tags and I did two of them really well and two of them really poor. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have the time to spread out through the four hunts. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a tag, a really good deer tag in Wyoming a couple of years ago. And it was hard. Like I made two trips over there just to make sure that the roads were open. The trailhead was what I thought it was going to be. And then I spent like 2 days or 3 days in there just getting a lay of the land of the country, making sure that the water sources were available and lining out just the logistics side of that. And I found a couple bucks, but nothing that, you know, I was willing to harvest, but I knew the potential was there. And then went home, was able to go and scout my unit back in Oregon for deer. Went back to Wyoming and went and did a 7 day hunt, ended up killing a deer, really one of my best bucks to date. Jumped back in a car, went back home. And then a week later I found success in Oregon on another deer. And so mm-hmm. I think like my application strategy every year is to try to find a tag that's close to home to where that you can scout it. You can scout it really well. You can know it really well. And those seem to be the hunts where I do find success on higher quality animals mm-hmm. than traveling to X state and spending 7 to 10 days there.
Yeah.
Cause traveling and trying to find a big deer.
It's so hard.
It is hard. It's like you so said, hard. You could go in there, learn the roads, the trails, where you're going to camp, and just get a lay of the land. But a lot of times you're not finding those big deer yet unless you're spending multiple days yet. And try to spend multiple days before your hunt opens. Maybe you can try to do that that way, but that's hard. It's hard to lock one down and you don't know if there's going to be other people there until all of a sudden you show up on the hunt and okay, he's got to deal with what you got to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, you've had two of the best deer tags across the West, right? And mm-hmm. haven't found success on either.
Yeah, ate both of them.
Yep, and hate to bring that up, but you know, sorry.
Rubs it in right away.
Sorry, but.
Hate to take that knife and just dig it right in. But that's, you know, up under the ribs.
Some of the best bucks I've killed are on units that are 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, unless I have like a premium tag, like, you know, those are those ones where you maybe go scout. Like that's the only hunt you have on your list. Go scout them. Go spend as much time as you possibly can. But, you know, if you're going to do like a third season Colorado deer hunt, go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go enjoy the unit for what it is. And if luck continues to walk in front of you, then perfect. Take advantage of that. But that's kind of how I approach it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to find a unit close to home that's easy to draw to, because then you can hunt it year in, year out, or at least every other, you know, 2-3 years. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. This buck that you killed this year, you said you had 3 years with him?
Yeah. A friend of mine actually kind of met him through social media. I knew he was running around the same ridge system that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I reached out to him and just was like, hey, man, like, love to meet up, grab lunch, dinner, talk about what you got going on, because we're right in the same area. And we threw some cameras up together, and I've helped him on an archery hunt. We almost got him a really nice buck, really, really big buck this year mm-hmm. during the archery hunt. And then I had the rifle tag, so I came up and helped him as much as I possibly could in September. And then he came back and he helped me on my October deer hunt. And so we had, I don't know, 3 years worth of footage of deer and video of him. And it was super cool. Same buck. Yeah, there's three or four of them that we were after. And
what was it about him that you could get him killed the previous 2 years?
I think the biggest thing was understanding that, I mean, October is one of the most difficult places, like difficult times to hunt deer, right? So understanding,
I hear I keep hearing people say
so
that.
Hard. I mean, you can go find them.
This might be a hot take, but I'm almost not sure that's the case anymore.
I'm telling you, man, like August.
I'll
like,
tell you why.
I don't know.
I'll tell you why. I think August is a great time to kill a buck, right? Because they're in velvet, right? Yep. September, same thing. First part of September, they're still pretty close to their pattern. November, it's a shit show because you just
don't know.
At that point, it's really hard to find a buck and stick with him and kill him. You might get lucky, like you said, like those you said, you know, third season Colorado, go have fun, shoot a big buck. I think October, man, I think it's if you can find them, I think they're real killable.
Yeah, I mean, if you can find them, that's the thing. If you can
Harder to find in October?
I think they're harder to find, but if you can locate them and you put them in bed, you can probably kill them.
This one's really had my wheels turning, because if you looked at this year, for example, in Colorado, second season or third season, most people are going to err on third season, which is why it's harder to draw than second season. Mm-hmm. If you look at the number of bigger bucks that were taken, a lot of them were taken this year on second season. Right.
There's more. What do they have though? They had some weather.
More tags, but I don't know, man. This is like one of those paradigms that I think for me is like starting to shift a little bit. I'm almost to the point where I'd like, you know what? I think I'd rather have second season than third.
It's those like deep timbered mountain ridges that stretch. I'm not talking the little skinny slopes of timber where you can see a deer feeding on that edge. I'm talking like it's 5 miles worth of timber on that face, on that north face, right? And so though, yeah, go find. I have deer that I have seen clear into September 10th, and I've, you know, there's one buck in particular I've looked at the last 6 years. I've never found him in October, and I spend more time than anybody that I know up there, and I've burned thousands of dollars of gas, and I can never turn him up, and I know he's there every year because I get photos of him again in July. So
yeah, if you have one a buck scouted out in October before the season opens, I think you can easily kill him. You can kill him opening day.
Yep.
But if you don't have a deer, I think trying to find that deer in October, if without previous knowledge of a big deer being in there, probably good luck. You might see a deer, but I'm talking about a big, big deer.
Yep. But if you do find him, there's a lot higher likelihood that he'll be there day in and day out than in November.
Yeah, I mean the deer.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the terrain they kind of live in, if it's thick. You're not, there's gonna be no snow. You can't glass into all the aspen trees. You can't, you know, like, all the PJs. He's not gonna be moving because it's hot. 75. I found out October before it was 90 degrees.
Oh yeah, I know.
I'm not talking about the desert states. I'm talking about mountain states. Yep. Like, they ain't moving around.
Yep. I was in a t-shirt when I shot the buck this year. I mean, it was 65, 70 degrees.
Yeah, but third season at this point is about the same. I don't know how many third seasons in the last several years have all been 65, 70 degrees.
I got hammered with snow when I went to Colorado.
Sure.
But it's
occasionally, like, you get that,
right?
With
luck strikes, you get it. But
yeah,
I mean, this deer, I sat at one spot and I honestly looked at a spot because I knew that's where he was living and I knew he was in there. And it was maybe 50 yards by 100 yard spot that I could see into this deep, deep timber. And on day four of looking at that little section, I finally picked him up. And I looked at that from sun up to sundown days in a row until I finally got the opportunity. And yeah, I mean, it's so mentally difficult to go feel like you're doing the same thing every day and not gaining any ground.
Want to see the buck?
Yeah, it's a good buck.
Yeah.
Oh.
Great buck. What's that buck score?
Oh, he's just shy of like 180. He's a really nice deer. Yeah. I got a goal in those mountains to crack that mark just as a personal goal. I don't know anybody that's done it in a long time. And finding success like that in Oregon's really
good.
It's
a rifle buck?
Rifle buck, yeah. Gotcha. Went to Colorado with some family earlier than that and found some really good success there. And again, like you said, like you can get a rifle tag in those prime season dates.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier.
I don't know. This is an interesting one I've been kicking around in my head because rifle season in Utah is always the last week of October.
Yeah.
Which coincides pretty nicely with, you know, other states' second season hunt, like a Colorado. I just think back historically on the rifle hunts I've had in my home state, and I think, yeah, maybe there's a lot of underutilized opportunity here in the second season. And I don't like being cold. The older I get, the less I like it. Am I going to be one of those snowbirds that end up in St. George in a camper van all winter long?
Yeah.
I don't know. Food for thought. I was curious. You said you had four deer tags in 1 year.
I did.
Yeah. How many tags is too many in your opinion? Or is there a limit for you?
There is for me. And I mean, I'll be straight up like it. I had three tags that I knew I was going to draw going into application season. And then I hit a random tag. It was an elk hunt in Idaho.
Hell yeah.
And one of the best tags in the state. And it was the worst experience I've had of hunting elk. It was a migration hunt and there was no weather. And I had a Colorado third season tag that same year for deer. And I had to go to Colorado with my dad and turn my mind off that I had one of the best elk tags in the state of Idaho while I'm in Colorado with my dad hunting a 1-2 point unit. And my dad and I both found success in Colorado. It was a great hunt. And those memories that my dad and I made that week were, you know, far better than any premium tag you could ever have in your pocket. But then coming, like, we literally harvested my dad's deer on the second to last day of season, jumped in the car, drove from Colorado to literally nowhere in Idaho, and spent, I was there another 16 days and it wore me out. I saw like three bulls in 16 days. Like there was no migration. The weather was super hot. It was dusty. And it just got to the point where it was so much that it became not fun. Like it, so like my personal is like 2-3 tags. And like, when I say 2-3, I always like one hunt that I go and travel with, like whether it's Colorado, whether it's Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, you name it. Like, I like a state to go travel because those are the memories. Like when you go out with your buddies and you go travel to a brand new state, like
it's newness.
It's just new. And it's the
novelty,
adventure.
New
it's
environment.
The adventure side of it, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, and I got my, you know, Oregon deer tag I try to get every single year. It's like, I know where I'm going. I know where I need to be. And it's just, at that point, it's
you
just
getting
lucky.
You know what's fun about traveling for hunts? It's not necessarily the hunting itself in a lot of ways, as I think back on it. It's like random gas station stops where I saw something really weird happen. Like a guy do a line of cocaine off the back of his hand or
sketchy
something,
hotels.
You know, something sketchy.
Yep.
Or yeah, just a crazy hotel or pulling off the side of road, which is a major trucking corridor, and you're, you know, hearing those semis go by in the middle of the night and you're just trying to sleep and get a few minutes of shut eye before you continue. It's like those kinds of things that to me like are the most memorable.
It's like that article
that makes it fun.
Like coos deer down on the border for a couple of kids from Oregon that have never experienced that hunting on the border. Like it's one of the funnest hunts I've ever done to this day. And I've done a pile of hunting and I mean, shoot, anybody can do that hunt. It's 0-1, 2 points. It's one of the funnest hunts you can possibly do down in here, Arizona.
For sure. Do you get the coos bug at all? Not bad enough. Not yet.
I have it, but I'm not willing to burn those points to do it yet. So
that's where I'm at.
Yeah, they're fun. And it's one of my favorite animals to hunt. Just they're so tough to glass up too. So it's a blast.
Yeah,
highly recommend.
When I was down there on my elk hunt in November, I had a number of people, pretty much any Arizona resident that I ran into. Oh, what have you seen for coos? You know, it was like one of the first two questions they'd ask. They'd be like, you know, what are you doing? I'm hunting elk. Oh, what have you seen for coos? It's like everybody's asking, but. Yeah, and I've hunted them before too, but I'm like, man, they're just so damn hard to see. Man, they're hard to see.
So fun.
And with my points, like there's no way I could even think about coos.
No.
You Same could. Here.
No.
I could too. You and I both could. We could draw probably the best.
We could.
The best one in the state.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. I keep chasing mule deer and I don't know if I'll ever catch it because it keeps jumping me, but every once in a while I'll get a wild hair and think, yeah, maybe I should just go on a late coos deer hunt. I don't know. Food for thought. That's what's fun about this time of year is like decision making.
Yeah.
And do it and get out of the point pool.
For sure.
Yep.
So where are you going to be living in here in Vegas?
I'll be remote.
You're remote.
So I'll be remote up in Oregon. I'll be down. We're going to the 3 shows. So we've got Sheep Show coming up in a couple weeks.
Are you going to be there?
I'll be there. Yep. I'll be at all 3. And then Western Hunt Expo in Salt Lake. In middle of February, and then a week after that, SCI in Nashville. So we'll have an appearance at all 3 of those, and I'll be there at all 3. So if you've at the shows and you have questions, please come stop by, meet me in person. Would really like to chat with you about anything and everything application side.
I think it's cool we're finally going to SCI.
That's so fun. That's where my grandpa took me when I was growing up.
And really?
I mean, I
can't remember if I've ever been to an SCI.
It's my favorite show.
Yeah.
Really?
I love walking around SEI. I think it's phenomenal.
Different atmosphere.
Yeah.
Zebras and elephants and gators and stuff.
It's cool.
That's what I think of when I think of SEI.
Yeah. No, it's a different experience than the other 2 shows. I highly recommend going. And what better place to be in Nashville? I mean, it's a good place to be. So
I'm kind of sad that they moved it from Vegas to Nashville because it was so nice when it was here.
I did it in Vegas when I was younger, but that set the international side for me. Like, it really piqued my international interest.
What are you personally looking forward to this year? This is like a random question I've been asking folks. I think we're going to do a post on it, maybe just run some old photos and video from hunts that we've been on. What are you looking forward to?
I have a very different season than I've ever had. Maybe a story for another time of how it came to be, but I'll be headed to Kyrgyzstan like late September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's a hunt I've wanted to do my entire life. And
how are you making that happen?
The right decisions early on. Like I said, I've always wanted to hunt sheep. I've guided sheep, been around them a lot. It's the one animal I've always wanted to do, and I never wanted to wait till I'm 60 years old. I want to enjoy it, and I want to enjoy it at the fullest. Like, I want it to be physically hard and challenging. And so was able to escape a mortgage for a long, long time when buying a duplex. That was a big key early on. And I did that by selling a pile of sheds to get that down payment to do that. And then, you know, like escaping a truck payment is another one. And then having a wife that really
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How's your wife feel about it?
She was all in.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, I originally booked Ibex.
Is that like all in, or is she like all in to you and then to her friend? She's you won't believe what this asshole's doing.
No, all in. She's been there since the beginning. And, you know, my father-in-law and I were best hunting partners together. And so she's seen it, you know, before she even met me at a young age. And then I having a horrible addiction when it comes to the hunting side of things. And I've been with her for a long, long time. And I booked an Ibex hunt in January and then got the email that the imports were open back up over there and had an opportunity to get a Marco Polo tag. And without hesitation, she said, let's go. Yeah. Let's do it. And so, yeah, with her support, it wouldn't happen either. But it's a very different fall for me this year. It might be the first time I don't have a mule deer tag in my pocket, but
I did last year. I don't recommend that.
I know. We'll see. There's still time.
Not that much fun. For a guy that shits on mule deer a lot, like myself, I should hunt them.
There's still time. But it's a big investment. And, you know, being in my late 20s, like, it's a daunting investment. But when you make the right decisions on a day-to-day basis, it's definitely still possible. It takes a lot of effort. We have a side business that I'm doing 60 hours a week in the summertime, you know, with a full-time 40-hour-plus-week job. Like, it's a lot of work. But just how bad do you want it? How bad are you willing to work for it to make it happen?
Yeah, hunts like that are just life-changing.
Yeah.
They really are. When you go over there, you experience it. You see things you never thought you'd ever seen in your life. Different cultures, different people, all that crazy stuff. The hunting, the mountains. The mountains are the best, the coolest part about it.
Yep. Might pick up an OTC tag or something like that too. So we'll see. Do something different. Just I want to do different hunts this year.
Yeah. So. Sounds different.
Yeah. Might go do blacktail. I know we have that interest. Blacktail.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out a blacktail hunt for a long time. Mm-hmm. Wanted to do one last year badly. Then I said, do that really great deer tag, mule deer tag. So I had to switch my plans. And then now this year, which I want to do is get a mule deer. So I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but I need to make it happen.
They're so pretty.
Yeah, they're a cool deer. Read more books. I actually had a guy DM me the other day. I forgot to get back to the guy, but... Yeah, he sent me a blacktail book, and I instantly went on eBay and bought it. And I was like, even if I'm knocking out blacktail right now, I'm reading this book, or when I get it, I'm going to start reading it to maybe I can pick up something I can use a tactic-wise to kill bigger mule deer or find a mule deer in different places or something like that. So there's always cool things you just learn in hunting.
Yep.
It's so funny how so many different hunters, we come in all different types. It's because I've hunted blacktail on Kodiak, right?
Yeah.
Adventure hunt for me, but like if I was just gonna go hunt blacktail like to the Oregon coast, I don't know that it would just like, I don't know if it would hit me that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the older I've gotten, the more narrow my hallway has gotten.
Yeah.
It's like I want to hunt deer, elk, and antelope.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
All my friends are too.
Really?
But
yeah.
But for me, it's like I want the adventure. Like I want to go experience new culture. Like I said, my grandpa was an international hunter.
Yep.
And like the stories that he has from those. Like you're not going to get going to Colorado third season. You just won't. They're different and they're challenging, and it comes with a lot of different challenges, but it's something that's really...
No, I totally understand it. Bad. I get it. I've never come home from a hunt like that. You know, when we went to New Zealand, I've talked about it ad nauseum. Like I was talking to Monty last night.
Yeah, you want to go back?
Yeah, shout out Monty, by the way. Monty killed a absolute slug tar.
Really?
I mean, a good one.
I'm going to hit him up.
Yeah, I'll show you a photo. You know what's great about it? He sends me a photo of this tar, and he's got his hand around the base, and it's like that big. It's huge. Big old bull tar.
And of course, with him, he shot with his bow.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. But one of the funny things is he sent me a photo of him and he's like building a fire, and he's got a atmosphere hoodie on. He's got Go Hunt rain gear on, which we were working on when we were down there. Mm-hmm. He's got a pair of rugby shorts, which is, they're like purple and black, and then his boots and his gaiters.
Yeah, I should hit him up, see if he use that knife I gave him.
I was just like, this is so classic.
But you go experience it and you want to go back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like one of those hunts for me. And I'm sure it'll, you know, for you, it'll be similar. Like anytime I've ever been to Alaska, it changed my perspective on hunting. It also changed my perspective on the world and just where I fit in it. And, you know, how I think about myself and how I think about my community and my family and everything. Like I think travel's so good for you.
It is. Yep. Hunts aren't getting cheaper. So go when you can. Make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I told you last night, like I would go with you in a heartbeat and just buy my own plane ticket so I can take photos. And then you told me the time frame you're going on. I'm like, yeah, can't give up my mule deer season to go do that, but I badly want to go back.
Yeah.
Is that your dream hunt?
It is. It's the number one dream hunt for me of all time.
Really?
Like, when I was a little kid, like flipping through the magazines, you know, like Marco Polo was it.
I'm concerned about your mental well-being on the backside of this.
I know.
Because you checked that box.
I know. That's what my wife said. She's like, what else is there? And I'm like, I have a whole spreadsheet. You want to see it?
Yeah. But, start making plans when you get back for the next one.
No, I'm excited for it. But I don't know. We'll pick up something too. Like I said, OTC tag. I kind of want to try to, you know, show people the opportunity that's still out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. So there's a lot of opportunity still today, whether it's spring bear, whether it's OTC blacktail, whether it's Arizona coos, like mm-hmm. there's a lot of opportunity to fill your schedule still if you know where to go and how to do it. And so, yeah,
you've been pretty successful at a young age.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
29.
Okay. You're not that young. You look younger than you are. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
That's
baby.
A good thing.
Yeah, that's good.
That is a good thing.
I'll take that.
What do you think, like what makes a successful hunter? What makes you, what's added? What's been the most critical part of your success in your opinion?
That's a loaded question.
Sure.
I've had mentors mm-hmm. along the way and really, really good mentors. You know, somebody to show you the application side's a big one. And mm-hmm. then, you know, when I got into guiding a little bit, you know, I talked to guys and like, okay, how do you be successful at archery elk or spot and stalk mule deer in the sagebrush and understanding thermals? And so, I mean, you can go and learn this stuff, but it's going to take you 10, 15 years and multiple times of failing stocks. But
here's the thing about that though. If you do it on your own, and I run into this all the time, you only know one way to do it, and that's your way. And I'm really bad at this. So there's been times, I'll take Neville for example, right? Mm-hmm. I've been with Neville on a number of hunts. I remember at least two different stocks that I can think of, archery stocks, where I'm watching the entire process unfold and I'm seeing the animal, I'm watching him and I'm watching his decision making, right? We're not in communication. Mm-hmm. He's making his decisions. And as I'm watching go through the motions, I'm thinking, that's not a decision I would have made. I know for a fact I would have done something different, but it worked out.
Yeah, it did.
So it gave me the opportunity to kind of evaluate, this is the reason somebody did something different and I saw that it was effective, you know? Yeah. So I think if you hunt on your own, sure, you can learn over time, but you only learn one way.
You do, yep.
So I think it's interesting that you worked with guides.
Yeah, it's like when I went down to Arizona, like, I mean, I think I saw four or five different ways that we harvested a bull elk and mm-hmm. two of them I would have never even thought are possible. Like, and I don't know anybody that really does it still to this day, but it worked for that guy and then mm-hmm. it continued to work down there. I remember you touched on like when you were in Wyoming, like you were hunting a crowded elk area, right? Mm-hmm. And it just threw you out of your element. You hated it, right? Yeah, hated it.
Do you know what's funny?
There's guys that thrive in that type of environment.
Oh, I know.
Too.
I have buddies that love it.
Yeah.
I have buddies that are just absolute murderers and they love that kind of stuff. They're like, more people? Great. Let's do it. And I should say, it's not that I hated the experience. I'm not good at it. Yep. I'm not as mm-hmm. effective as I could be or should be. Whereas there were other people that I was talking to that were thriving, right?
Yep.
It was fun to talk to them and it's fun to run into people and say, what are you seeing? I don't mind that at all. It's just that I suck at that style of hunting. I know it's just a weakness of mine.
Yeah. I think just find a mentor and lean on them. And I mean, don't be afraid to like, I mean, I'll still today, like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, on this stock or this type of an environment, or maybe it's, you know, Elmer Fudding it through the timber with a rifle for deer in October. Like there's different tactics that you could pick up from everybody. So don't be afraid to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, put your guard down and try something different and see if you can find success. Like, I think if you do that so many times over the course of whether it's 10, 15 years on hunts that may be really low success and you start to find success, like, you know, last thing I want to do is sit on the sidelines for 20 years. And then now I do draw my archery elk tag, my dream tag. And guess what? I've never hunted archery elk. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really difficult spot to be in. So
very difficult.
Yeah. So go apply and get in and go try.
Mm-hmm. You strike me as a go-getter.
I try to be. I strive to be.
I'm sure a go-getter this fall when Lane and I run our elk hunt, and every day I get service a little bit and you'd, another bull down. Day would go by, another bull down. And I'm like, I'm not even responding to him right now. And then another bull down. And like, I shot three bulls in a week and I'm
blocked.
Here I am.
Yeah. And that was tough. We went on a stretch of like 6 days and didn't see an elk though. So like what a mental battle it was there to have everybody stay up there and buy into the process and find success on day nine. Like felt pretty good, but late season elk hunting's kind of fun.
Were you hunting Colorado?
Oregon.
Oregon. Gotcha.
Yeah. Stayed in Oregon this year. So
cool. Do you have other questions?
No, I don't think I have any other questions. Just excited to have you.
Yeah,
think I appreciate it.
How does somebody sign up?
Yep. Best way to sign up is go on to GoHunt and you'll get on the membership side. And there's an Insider Plus platform there. Super easy. It even shows you what all comes with it when you click Insider Plus. And like I said, I'll get an email as soon as somebody signs up and reach out to you, you know, that day and set up a meeting and go over what, you know, whether you have a portfolio that's 20 points or you've never been in the game at all. Mm-hmm. Like we said, it's for everybody and anybody. If you have any questions, like, please reach out. I know my email here is austin@gohunt.com. So, and then, you know, if you want to communicate by cell phone after that, like, I'll definitely give you my personal direct cell phone. But yeah, would love to chat. Even if you have more questions about it, please reach out. Love to schedule a phone call and answer any questions. Whether it's get to know me a little bit more, or, yeah, anything and everything that I can possibly help with. So don't be afraid to reach out.
I think it was a month ago, I'm going to be reaching out to you. I do have a lot of points in a certain state for deer.
You got to pony up the money.
I pony up the money? No. I thought it was prorated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm even going to lean on you because I want to go hunt deer.
Yeah. Likewise.
I want to go hunt deer in your state and hunted it once and didn't kill a deer. And I have a goal to kill deer in every state. So, yep.
And I'll lean on guys within the office that are better experts at that state than me. And so I think that's where that membership's going to pay off is like, I'm going to find somebody that either has boots on the ground in that unit for that season, or knows that state really, really well. So yeah, it's a really good benefit for the cost.
Cool.
So,
well, thanks Austin. We're definitely glad to have you on.
Appreciate it. Happy to be here. It's going to be fun.
Last thing I'm going to say, I need you guys that listen to the podcast. I know you're out there. We have a pretty loyal following. I need you guys to leave us reviews. So leave us a review. Jump on whatever platform you listen to and just leave us a review. I would appreciate that. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, Spotify, Apple.
Spotify, whatever it might be. Just leave us a review. It helps out, helps us push it out to more people and helps us grow the podcast. So I would appreciate that on a personal level.
And I do read a lot of those comments too.
Just for humor. Yeah, also.
Because
leave some funny ones. Great
there is a funny one.
Maybe we should have a contest for the funniest review, huh?
Yeah.
Be kind. Be kind. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.